Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And with us this morning, we're really pleased to have Daniel Schlegel, who is the new director of the Monroe County History Center. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. So welcome to Bloomington and to your position. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I actually grew up in Dayton, Ohio, about 3 hours from here, and worked at my first museum. But I joke, the way I got to Bloomington is I took the scenic route. I went through Texas, Colorado to get here. So it was a nice scenic route, but it's good to be back in the Midwest again. And Bloomington's amazing. It's just like I expected it to be from all the research I did. Everyone's super nice. There's so much going on here. But I just love museums. My parents were not surprised at all when I told them at college I wanted to work at a museum. They were like, "We've been waiting for you to tell us that." But I love it, and being a lot closer to family now, I'm the one oddball that took off and moved away, so being close again. But I just love everything Bloomington has to offer, so I've really enjoyed it, and I've only been here since July, the beginning of July.
Yeah. Well, welcome, and talk a little bit. We can kill two birds with one stone in a way. Talk about, what did you find interesting about the Monroe County History Center, and what would you like listeners, some people may still never have been there. What would you want to share with them about the museum? What do you like?
Personally, one of the first things that caught my attention is I love the fact that it's in an old library. And we still have visitors that come in and go, "Sorry, I went to the North Steps. That's where I was used to entering when it was a library." So we hear that. It is a beautiful front entrance. So I personally love the architecture. And I love the history. Like every town, every place I've been has such a unique history that is so their own. It makes them so special, and this was no different. From what I could see online, I was 1,300 miles away in Colorado, so I did as much research as I could. The exhibits were fun; they looked really engaging. There's a really unique history here. The fact that there's so much culture here. I know IU plays a lot into that, but there's the people. I mean, just even people that don't work for IU, they just love that uniqueness. And so just all of the other communities, because so many people forget that. They just think that the museum, since we're in Bloomington, we're about Bloomington. We try very hard to make sure all of our communities in Monroe County are represented, because we are Monroe County History Center. So History Center. And I thought it was great too. I hadn't worked at a museum that had a genealogical research library attached. Most of the time, people would have to go to the library or to another institution, have a research library. And so it's great. You at lunch, some of the employees will all talk. And stuff people are researching, like they found, eight ancestors back, or they're, coming through. And it's just so neat, because you have all these reasons for people to come to the History Center, whether or they want a unique gift from our store, or they just had fun looking at, especially Monroe the Bear that used to store. I can't tell how many people come just to see him.
And you mentioned the genealogy library, which you're right is a pretty unique feature. And so if someone's interested in learning more about their ancestors or background or a family they're interested in, how does that work? Do they come in? Are there things for them to look at?
There are. So some people, luckily, in today's day and age, I mean, you could do it at 2 a.m. in your pajamas if you wanted to do a search, which is kind of nice, because if you're up then, the museum, we may not be open at 2 a.m.
not your new extended hours, huh?
No, those are pretty extended for the research library, so I'd hate to put them through that. But ironically, we just had a conference on the 20th of this month, and it was free and open to people, but our research librarian, Megan, she is phenomenal. She is super patient. She's able to help talk to people. And if people, unfortunately, it is a very small space. So at this time, we do ask people call for an appointment, just so we can do over. Because there have been times where quite a few people do try to come in.
Sure.
Megan and all the volunteers back there, oh my gosh, they know so much information. Some of it they can go, oh yeah, I've heard that name. Let me tell you something. Like they're just so incredibly smart and they love sharing that information. So anyone that is interested, all they have to do is call and talk to Megan. They set up an appointment and Megan and the volunteers are just, they'll make it a wonderful experience. People, you know, a long mm-hmm. shot, you know, they came in, they go, well, we really don't know if we'll find anything. Mm-hmm. Going to try. And they found a link to go somewhere else to find even more. Mm-hmm. You were just that one little bit
mm-hmm.
point these people when they had been at a dead end. So there's so much back there in the research library to find. So, and everyone back there is, like I said, they either know the shortcuts where to go, like, oh, you could look,
mm-hmm.
recommend looking over here, you'll find more. Mm-hmm. So it's really helpful.
That's nice. Yeah. Cause doing a process like that can be overwhelming if you've never done it before. And it makes a lot of sense to set up a time and have Megan or a volunteer help you, you know, start or continue your search if you're in the middle of one. That's yeah. great. So if, you know, I walk in and I bring my family to the museum, what am I going to the History Center? What am I going to see?
So the good news is some people get used to museums and, you know, you see one thing when you're a kid and you come back 20 years later and it's still all there. Mm-hmm. The really neat thing is we have a great collections manager, Hillary, who is very diligent about making sure all of our collections get rotated out. So we'll still have similar exhibits. It's just the actual items might change
mm-hmm.
Because she makes sure that they're, you know, everything's on a finite timeline. You know, mm-hmm. there's certain things like this will be around forever. No, and maybe not our lifetime. It'll last through it, but several more generations. Mm-hmm. So, and she has, oh my gosh, it's so much fun. I'll go up there just to take a break from the computer. I'll be like, and she has so much. She's like, Daniel, where do I start? We have so much. So that's really neat. But then AJ, our exhibits designer, what he'll do is we have three spaces for temporary exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
We have several that just came down and there's a few that are going up as we're talking. So the good news is there's a bunch of change with those. And then AJ constantly takes a look at our exhibits and he's like, this one's been up for a while. Maybe we should do something new. So there's a lot changing. So on the first floor, when you very, very first come in our main entrance, we have our education room and there's an exhibit about an environmental timeline in Monroe County. So a lot of change. You don't realize how many changes there are until you look back on something like that. And then we also have our store and, you know, our research library are all on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Floor on the permanent gallery space, we have two temporary spaces. One of them is the Hill exhibit space. I almost forgot the name. I should have had that second cup of coffee. But in the Hill space, that's right by our elevators and our stairs. And that one is constantly changing. We just put up a holiday exhibit there. So that's always fun and good cheer. And then the Record Hall, we actually have Monroe, a county of cultures there. And mm-hmm. so one of those, until you start poking around, you don't realize how many different cultures have been in or are in Monroe County right now. So it's really neat. And then our permanent gallery as well. Bloomington has a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with 200 years, you accumulate a lot of history there. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of neat stuff to see.
Now, a lot of the items that are there, no, it sounds fabulous. And a lot of the items that you have there, I'm imagining too, that people probably donate things to the collections. And so if somebody, you know, has something that they think, you know, would be of interest, is that something, should they reach out and contact the History Center and see if they're interested or?
Oh, absolutely. We are always looking for new things. When you look at the size, most museums, I've always heard a general rule of thumb is most museums only have about 10% on display. So I know, for instance, when I was at a small museum, the Scurry County Museum in Texas, people would come in and go, well, my great grandma donated her spinning wheel. It's not on display. Did you throw it in the garbage? People are like, no. That, you know, we're a museum. We're like, we actually have five of them and we rotate each one out.
Mm-hmm. So
just came off. She'd, of course, come in February and that one came off in December.
Yeah, of course.
But luckily our curator just happened to be nearby, and she's like, hey, I have to go downstairs in Scurry County. I can show you. So people, they'll see stuff and they'll go, but we donated these things. So we're always collecting. It's just, we can't always have it on display because a lot of the UV lights, even in incandescent lights, deteriorate that. And then also with the climate. So Hillary is our collection manager. I don't know how she remembers it all. But there's always, you know, there's always holes. There's always more things we'd like to see. And unfortunately, there's always times where we're offered something that's far too large. We go, we'd love to have this, but I forget what they told me. Hillary said it was a couple years ago, but there was something very large. I forget what it was now, but it was just big. And she was like, we'd love it. Realistically, we cannot maintain and care for it. So she's like, I hate to turn it down, but we have to.
Yeah.
We're always interested, or there are times where something has wound up in our collections. You know, over 40 years, you accumulate a lot. Sometimes people just donate stuff to donate. Oh, it's old. Here you go. And in the beginning, a lot of museums will take stuff on. Sometimes when we have very light records on what it is or who donated it, or we have a record and it's just not connected to Monroe County. What Hillary will do is she'll compare everything and make sure, this is a much better version of X. We could replace something because this is in shape. So rarely we get rid of things, but sometimes necessary. But Hillary will swap things out.
Sure. And you mentioned something interesting too. You said, of course, you know, if you can track it or what, you know, why is it important to have that information about where it came from or what it was or who bought it? How does that help tell the story?
So that's really important because a lot of people want to see how Monroe County has developed and changed over the years. And so let's say, for instance, you came in tomorrow and you said, hey, I've got this amazing quilt and part of this chest, and my grandparents were from Kansas. Okay, did they live here? Did they come here? Did they pass through here on their way? You're like, nope. They were born and raised, died in Kansas. They never left. But I want you to have it. It's old. It's been in my house for 10 years. So sometimes we'll get that. And the reason why we don't want to collect something like that is because it doesn't pertain to Monroe County. What we encourage you to do is to call the place in Kansas, and what our hope would be is if the opposite happened, if you had family out in Kansas and they, hey, this was from Bloomington, but you should have it Kansas Historical Society.
That's right.
No. You need to call Bloomington. You need to call Monroe County and see who they have there. And sometimes as a museum, depending on who our constituents are, sometimes we'll track that down for people. They may not be willing or able to look at that. So we try to collect things that have a direct tie because there's so much, like with the Showers Brothers furniture here with PA, as recent as that is, a lot of that's going to fade away quicker than people realize. And so running joke was, when I was in Dayton, there was a trolley bus that my grandparents used to ride when they were first dating. Like, it was the actual bus, like with the number. It was the one my grandparents rode when they would go out on dates, and they would go, Danny, we rode that bus. It's in a museum. I want to come back. No. But you guys, it was retired in 88. I'm old enough to have ridden on it. So that's three generations of us. And I was like, if we don't save it now, no one can keep this out back. It would have been scrapped or destroyed.
And
I never thought it. So I was able to kind of, you know, at least they were my grandparents. Talk to them a lot more. But, you know, you kind of turn, but, you know, stuff like RCA, some of that history is going to disappear. So luckily, Sandy wrote an amazing book about RCA in Bloomington, and it is a phenomenal book. It's a nice hardback book. And so a lot of people shared their memories. So she was able to capture so much in this great RCA book.
Yeah.
So things like that. So that's why we always want to collect more. History disappearing, whether we realize it or not.
And that sounds great. And being able to preserve those memories and those artifacts. And you mentioned too something interesting, you know, about people writing books or recording their history or recording what they know. And in your gift shop, you have some interesting materials. They're like interviews with people, their oral histories in there, a lot of historical records. Talk about the gift shop a little bit, because it's
Sure.
It's got a lot of stuff going on in there.
There is quite a lot going on there. So we do have a big genealogical section because some people do come in. So there's a lot with marriage records. There's a lot with cemeteries, which sounds morbid, but we do have a lot on them because you can pull a lot of information there. And we have a lot with veterans in there. The things that I was looking at the other day, of course, you can always find me looking at stuff in there. we have Civil War journals. So some of the young men from Monroe County that went off to the Civil War, we've published their journals. So you can read what one of the soldiers, I mean, everyone thinks it's really glamorous. Those guys, some of the hardtack and bacon, if they even got bacon and coffee, and just some of the different things they, but we also have a lot more. We have a lot of books in there. Obviously, a lot of them pertain to Bloomington, Monroe County. There's, and of course, I'm going to blank on the author right now, but there's several authors from some of our other communities around Monroe County. So we wanted to make sure we captured all of that. There's a book about Griffey Lake. So, you know, anything could be of interest to people. We try to capture as much of that as we can. And then the other neat thing is we also have the Monroe County History Club that meets on the last Tuesday of every month, and we've partnered with them. So they let us sell our books at their events, and then we have a little table to promote them. And so on the, I think it's the 30th, it's Tuesday, there's one about covered bridges. And we have a whole book, and it's just covered bridges of Monroe County.
Neat.
About anyone else, but I just think covered bridges are the neatest thing. Like, I just think they're fun to travel through, take a look at, especially in the fall with all the foliage changing colors. I find them amazing. So you never know what you're going to find, you know, especially those hard to find. We've got some pretty unique things in there.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And, you know, if people are looking for gifts, it sounds like that might be, you know, holidays coming up. It sounds like that'd be a great place to go shop or look for some things for, you know, people who are interested in the history of the region.
Yes. Yes. You could definitely find a lot, whether they're coffee table books or books for information, or I know it's a $2 tuition fee, but if someone wants to buy a membership for a family member or a friend that they think highly of, they're able to just easily buy a membership. We have all different levels, so they're able to come in year round to see all of our great exhibits. We have so much programming. For instance, I haven't talked about her yet, but our education manager, Andrea, we do so much that's dementia friendly at the museum. And so she has memory walks every month. Mm-hmm. There's also Puzzle Fest coming up at the end of January. So a lot of the members hear about a lot of that through our newsletter, and they find out before does.
Yeah, Puzzle Fest, that sounds like an interesting event. That's, I think, a unique event for you folks.
Yes, there's a puzzle competition. So if any of you are very, very competitive and really you can do that as teams, family, or individuals. Or if you just have puzzles at home and you want to swap them out and work on new ones, you can bring yours in and get credits and then go shopping for new puzzles at the puzzle swap too. So it's a really, I'm actually very much looking forward to it. I haven't been to one yet, but from everything Andrea's told me, education, it sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward. I also like puzzles. I'll admit I'm a little biased.
No, that sounds great. That's coming up in January. So people should people check your website for more information as it gets closer? Right.
Yes, as of November 29th, we will have registration open for it. And so you'll see a lot more through our website and our social media channels.
So people will be waiting outside at 5 a.m. to sign up. Is that right?
They might be. I hope it's not a cold day, but it's with our day and age, you can do it online. So if you want to do it in your you're allowed.
That's much better. No, it's great. And you know, you've mentioned, you know, being able to do genealogy online, register for the competitive Puzzle Fest online. So you have more of an online presence now too than in the past. And so talk a little bit more about, you know, what else can people do online?
Sure. So we, like a lot of people with the pandemic, the museum wanted to save an event for that. And so there's a really neat exhibit we have online about women's votes and the centennial of voting. And so we just want to make sure people are engaged. Unfortunately, with something like the pandemic, something like the museum can fade in the background very quickly because you know, we're not a priority. We're not first responders. We're not food. So very quickly we can fall down the line, but we wanted to make sure people still had a form of entertainment. And so we try to reach people online through all the videos we put up on YouTube, through our exhibit online, just to engage people so they remember, just to take their mind off of things for a little while. You know, we want people to enjoy the museum and not be like, oh, it's a bunch of old stuff. We want a little more exciting than that. And so we want them to be engaged and to have fun and to look forward to something like Puzzle Fest or something like a new exhibit where they go, oh, they have a new exhibit. Hey, you're in next weekend. We should go out there and take her. That's what we want to be able to do.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and you have a family-friendly venue, and I know there are a lot of families who homeschool in the community who use you as a resource. And so it really sounds like there's something for everybody.
Yes, that's what we try to do is we want to cater to anyone and everyone because we are the Monroe County. So we welcome Monroe County or anyone that wants to learn about Monroe County. Mm-hmm. So that should be about everybody.
Yeah, there you go. Now you've mentioned volunteering. And so, you know, in the pandemic, so is it a situation where are you recruiting volunteers again yet? Is that slowly happening or not quite yet? Or if you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure. We have some amazing, I have to say, these folks are amazing. When I go to them with questions, they're so patient with me. I joke, new. They're like, how long are you going to use that line?
As long as I can, right?
Exactly. But our volunteers have been absolutely incredible. And it's a neat way for them to showcase their skill sets. We have one gentleman, Lee, who's great with technology. So he handles and troubleshoots a lot of technology so we don't have to call those big expensive companies. We have a lady, Penny, who's phenomenal with our newsletter and editing articles. She's incredible. I mean, she can just see these things and know. So, and she's great with our research. We have other volunteers that help us with our front desk. And that alone, you know, you get to greet a lot of people. You can show in the store. So any skill sets people have, we encourage them to. We do have it online if they wanted to apply. So again, 3-4 in the morning, if you're up and you wanted to apply, you can still do it then. But we're volunteers are absolutely the lifeblood of museums. As you mentioned earlier, people have to donate objects to us. We just don't have the money to go out and buy things. Same with fully staffing the museum. The money's not there like a lot of museums. We have 20 positions and pay people. But volunteers are able to bring skill sets. So we have some volunteers that are in college, all the way up to folks that have been retired for years. But they all have something in common, and that's their love of history. They enjoy Monroe County, and they just have a big heart. So with those three things, we have a lot of amazing people. And before I forget, we do have our garage sale ladies who help with our annual. And those ladies, everyone will see them once a year for those few days when they're open. Those ladies are there at least once a week, all year long, if not more. And those ladies want to know how much work they put in out there. So,
oh yeah,
so many different things depending on what people, what their skill sets are, or if they're retired, what they want to do. This is their time. They should be able to enjoy it.
Now you mentioned the garage sale, and I know that's always a huge fundraiser. And I know you had a little holiday sale again recently too. And you're right, it starts all over again. So I think you start taking donations in January, right? Just keeps going.
That is true. And I feel bad because I had to contact several of them. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't want to bug you just yet. I'm sure you want a few days away from me. But luckily they did just what you did. They just laughed at me and they were like, no, Daniel, you're fine. We like to hear from you. But I also tell them I'm terrible dad jokes. So I think they just sort of roll their eyes at me. But those ladies are so sweet. And that, like I said, one of them jokes that she's younger than the rest. And she's like, these 80-year-old ladies are working circles around me. I have no room to complain. It just makes me laugh that, you know, some of these ladies, I mean, they're just go, go, go. And I think it's an inspiration to all these volunteers we have that they want to give their time and they work so hard and they love it. It really makes it fun. I don't feel like I go to work every day. I really don't. I truly love what I do. And these folks are the reason why, is because they just make it fun.
No, absolutely. It sounds like it. You know, as we're going into the, you know, the end of the year, beginning of the next, what are you looking forward to the most?
So, to be honest, I'm looking forward to be here for a full year. That way I'll have been able to mm-hmm. see everything that we do, both mm-hmm. in the History Center and in the community. And then I want to be able to try to improve what we do. I think we do a great job, but, you know, there's always room for improvement and mm-hmm. Make connections. We have some amazing people in the community and institutions out there, and I'd love to pair with them just so we can better serve mm-hmm. in our community.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for making time in your holiday break here to talk with us. And it was really very informative and very interesting. And thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.